We are going live, and we're live. Hey, good morning. This is the 5 a.m. Master Scrum Show. I hope you're doing well. It is Saturday. It's actually about 8:30. It's like 3 hours later than we normally do. It's a long, slow Saturday to wake up from. I don't know why, but oh, hey, phone just ding. So if you ring the little bell, you'll get a little notice on your phone when we go live. So it's funny. I heard a beep. I'm like, yep. Yep. And there we go. I got a lot of LinkedIn stuff, H&R Block. Of course, they're telling me my stuff. So you get that little notice. There you go. So if you ring the little bell, you'll get a notice when we go live and put up new content. Hopefully, we'll put up some content this weekend. Maybe some pictures of going to the zoo and things, since we talked about that earlier this week. And here we talk. I'm Greg Messer, Scrum Master and Agile Coach. And we talk about Agile and Scrum in a practical and tactical way. Things I've seen in the past, things I read, feedback on different bulletin boards, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and questions we get on the show. And I was just showing this off. A little, we went out to the zoo, the safari park. My kids got this out of McDonald's, a little minion. Got that. If we ever go back to reality, this might be a fun little device for doing the talking stick. I don't know. Whoever has the shortest conversation gets it. I don't know. But it's pretty cool. Maybe win a prize. Who knows? But this is something different. Like when you toss this around, so one person talks at a time. Can't use this in a virtual environment because it doesn't work that way, but I do know in a virtual environment, you know, one person can talk at a time because otherwise you can't hear what everybody else is thinking. So anyway, we're talking about Agile and Scrum. This is our 361st episode. We're only four away from doing a whole year straight. We did take one day off, like not too far, but that was because I was camping in the middle of the world and there was no electronics. Everything died. And I said, you know what? We're doing electronic free day. So two things I want to talk about today: breaking up stories so that the team works them, and then watch out for product owners or business people trying to appoint stories. There is ways to do it, and there's ways not to do it. It depends on how the group is working. So breaking stories, it's very important in Scrum, and it's the philosophy of Scrum. You know, this is some of the things. This is a good book. 97 things every Scrum practitioner should know. Just kind of read through some of that. I haven't really got into it at all, but it's a good thing. But what I noticed, some of the waterfall to Scrum type organizations, there's still a big thing of points to person, stories to person. And it breaks up the ability for a team to work together as a team. And what happens is that one person gets a story, they take a story, they do the whole story, and they don't really communicate with everybody. And then people wonder why daily scrums don't work and why the interaction doesn't work, because you got basically 10 people or, you know, 3 to 9 people working individually on stuff and they don't communicate. The idea is that you should be looking at taking a story. Now, there's two things I'm going to talk about why you do this. One, you break a story down so that more than one person can work it, right? Whether you're doing code reviews or maybe there's two different sections of code. The other thing is for rapid deployment for the customer. If you have something that you wrote that people can work in parallel, or they can talk about it, hey, I'm going to use this code. Okay, I'll use that code when I go here. And they agree upon the framework of what they're building, they can work it in parallel and get quicker work done. And that's one of the things I see, like in SAFe, where people mess that up. The idea is it's a train, it's a high-speed train. You got 10 teams working at the same time in the same code base. Boom, done in a quarter, not in a year. But the idea is breaking the stories down so that this one, the work can get done quicker and get into the hands of the customer for their feedback loop. And two, so they learn how to work together as a team and work with other people. A lot of people don't teach you that. You don't learn that in college. You don't learn that in coding school. It's something that we have to teach people in Scrum, but they become more productive, more proficient. So that's the one thing. Just when you have stories, task them out. Find ways of, can we task out? And tasking is more the technical job. Challenge your technical people. Find some things. How is there anything in this story that can be worked at the same time? And ask that question of your tech team. Not that you know anything about the tech, but just ask them, hey, is there any work that can be done in parallel together and be done at the same time so we can get this story done quicker and earlier in the sprint? That's a technique that you can use. Now, the other thing is watching out for product owners. And I think this is going to be a short episode because it is a Saturday. I've had organizations where the product owners would try to point some stories. Good, bad, right? I don't necessarily mind it so much for the product owner to help them kind of understand. But there's a caveat to it, right? For product owners, I've been working with a team for 6 months to a year and really knows how they kind of size things because they're writing the stories based on what they've developed a rapport with the team. If they want to size things for their own perspective of prepping sprint backlogs, right? I'm fine with that. To a point, but only as a temporary spot to help them figure out what might fit. The ultimate sizing always comes down to the team. The team might say, well, yeah, no, this is more complicated and it's bigger or whatever work-wise. And they may make bigger and you get less stuff done. But it always comes to that. Where I see people thinking they can because they know they were a project manager before and now they're a product owner or they're a business person. And they think they can estimate really well on how much work something's going to be. One, they don't know a lick of code. They don't know anything about it. Two, I really worry about those people that have just started working with the team, have no idea how the team's going to work. And they're like, well, I can estimate it. I'm like, you have no idea how much work it's going to take or how complex it is or anything. And you said you're going to estimate it. All my years, I never estimated for anybody. I always took their estimates and use it. And I was very successful as a project manager or program manager. But I see a lot of people thinking, well, I can size it, and they're going to undersize it and say, well, it should only be 50 points to do this feature, so we can do it. Oh, but no, maybe it's a lot higher, or a lot smaller, or a lot bigger, right? Problem is, and then they'll fight for it. When I had one Scrum team, I had some Scrum Masters that would size stuff. Or not Scrum Masters, product owners. They would size it. But one of the things I made them to do is that, one, they had no say whatsoever, nor feedback in whatever the team sized the story, right? Sometimes they would take offense to that. And there was a couple of interactions I had with one product owner, and the person took a little bit of offense because I said, hey, look, it's not your judgment call on what the size is. It's what the team says. And actually, a lot of times I would go through and delete all the sizing in the stories in the sprint. And say, go delete all the sizing before we get into sprint planning. You can easily do that in the system. It's really simple nowadays. So if they want to use the sizing to kind of get an idea of what they are and see what might fit from a product backlog, I'm okay with that as long as they delete all the points and everything off the thing. Looks like someone hit off an alarm. But as long as they get rid of that, I'm okay with that. So I think that's all I got today. I don't really have a lot. We're going to do some yard sailing with the kids. I think my wife started Eddie on a thing to go find yard sale and buy Nerf guns. He made a good deal. He got one that's typically like $35. He bought it for $5. So more power to the kid. No, I'm not paying that $35. Anyway, I wish you all the best. It is Saturday. You know, give us a like if you like the show. Give us some feedback, ask some questions. And I'm going to try to do some more reading, some books and some things that when I do is when I read books like this, it just opens up things that I've seen in the past, and then I have them for topic areas, and we go from there. But again, just be careful, mindful of a lot of pre-work, product owners getting pushy, teams taking individual stories and just not communicating with the team. It's a tough thing to break, but you got to break it, right? And that's how you get more productive teams, when they work in conjunction with each other. And sometimes you just got to challenge them to do it. All right, ring the bell if you like our show, so you get notifications like on your phone, like I did, right? Get a little notification. And then good to go. That, have a good weekend. Happy scrumming. Hope you have fun. Go enjoy some time with the family, with your friends. Enjoy the weekend, and take care. All right. See you tomorrow on Sunday. Bye.